This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Joining us now is Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. Rabbi Lapiansky is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Greater Washington, Tiferes Gedalia. He is a profound thinker and a prolific author, including having written two books that I love, Golden Apples on Bereishis and Ben Torah for Life. That was an unbelievably inspiring and important book for Klal Yisrael. Both of these books, by the way, I have sitting right next to me. Rabbi Lapiansky, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. It's very nice to be with you, Rivard. Your own works are amazing, and they're a tremendous resource for Klal Yisrael. You know, whether the working for men and for women and the other deities of all kinds, yes, for your work.
Okay, thank you for that, Rabbi Lapiansky. So, Rabbi Lapiansky, I want to start a little bit broadly. We're talking about Mashiach, following up on Tisha B'Av, the day that the Yerushalmi tells us that the Mashiach is born, and that's obviously known to be the 12th of the 13th Ikrim, the principles of faith brought by the Rambam. Is this Ikar agreed to by all the Rishonim, all the Achronim, or is there a machlokis when it comes to this fundamental of the faith?
So, without getting sidetracked, because the real discussion is what is an Ikar exactly? I'll just in two words, just try to sum up. A lot of the debate has been: can we telescope these ikrim, these beliefs, into 3, 4, or less than 13? Or does it, you know, why the structure of 13? There have been issues as to what does it mean to be an ikr. Is there a halachic distinction? Is it something which is relevant in terms of structurally to Yiddishkeit? So without getting bogged down, it's something that's a whole sugya in its own right. Almost everyone, I don't know if someone doesn't agree, because the Gemara is simply full of it. The Gemara speaks about Ben David, Mashiach. It's ubiquitous in the Gemara. And the Gemara does bring a man d'amar, a Rabbi Hillel, who said, "Einan Mashiach Yisrael, there's a chluk var b'nei Hizkiyo." And the Gemara says, "Sharele l'mari." So the bottom line of the Gemara is the belief in Mashiach as a goal of Klal Yisrael is the almost unanimous consensus, and thereby stands as a normative Torah Shabbat Pei and Halacha. The even what Hillel means exactly, there are different explanations ranging as to, yes, he means that we no longer deserve a Mashiach, or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the goel and not a human being, or that it's different to roots him. But at any rate, in the big picture, to the best of my knowledge, there's not a single Ishita that would say it is not part of and the beliefs that we are required to believe. Just the fact that it's a consensus in Torah Shabbat Peh means that if somebody denies it, he's basically denying the validity of Torah Shabbat Peh. The Rambam goes further and he says, even Torah Shabbat Peh. But certainly, Shas is full of Mashiach and Ben David, and therefore it is as unanimous as you could possibly hope for.
Uh-huh. So the Ikar of Mashiach, the principle of faith of the Mashiach,
yes.
How do we think about it? Is it a required belief, or is it a halachic imperative?
So there are two dimensions to it. In other words, the Rambam, for instance, does not bring Tchias HaMeisim in halachas. There is no halach of Tchias HaMeisim. He brings it as a required belief. He says if you don't believe in it, it's one of the people around the Chekom Haba. But he does not elaborate and does not bring it in halach except as a belief. Mashiach, he brings in Halachas Malachim. He signs off with that. And it's a halacha. It's irrelevant. We need to know, we need to recognize a Mashiach. We need to know how to expect him. He assumes a halachic stature of a king. He is a king, and therefore kings are hilchos melachim. It's part of our halacha. Yes, say we don't have one, but it's part of halacha. So Mashiach is A, important as a halachic entity to recognize who's a valid Mashiach and the halachas of a king apply to him, with the need to follow what he says and his rules and his rights and obligations, etc., etc. Besides which, the Ramchal possibly, of all the other Sfarim, explains the need. Why is this a piece in the tapestry of Jewish belief? Mashiach is the final part that sort of solidifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for the world, and that's how he relates to it. So Mashiach exists both as a halachic entity, and he exists also in the big picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creation of the world, design for the world, destiny of the world. It fits in that picture as well.
So if we look at after Shacharis, there's listed in the Siddur, the Sheish Zechiros, the six things. It says Nachon, I'm looking in the article right now. Nachon Lomar Sheish Zechiros B'Cholim. It's proper to remember it every day. How do we think about the Iker of Mashiach? Is this something that is an imperative to do every day? Do we have to think about it once a year and once in our lifetime? Can it be a passive belief that we have, but we don't have to think of it actively?
So it's very interesting. On a similar note, the Chazon Ish was once, the Chazon Ish, even though he had much regard for the Muslim movement and the good they had done, he didn't feel that the system exactly of learning the Musa was either whether it was as important as it was made out to be, whatever it is. And they asked him, so how does a person get Yerushalayim? Where does a person think about these things? And he looked at them kind of surprised, and he said, you say Shmon Esra, you daven. A person spends 45 minutes a day davening, and he speaks about Kadosh Baruch Hu being almighty. He speaks about everything being dependent on Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's not a single idea that Musa would enjoin us to believe that's not in the davening. That's what he said. In Shmon Esra, we ask four outright brachas. We have a Semach David, Kabbe Shofar Gadol, and so on. We have four brachas asking for Mashiach from Malchus Beis David, Yerushalayim, Kibbutz in the place, and so on. We say V'sechazene Einenu B'shuv Chalitzin B'rachamim. So three times a day we repeat. If we pay half attention, that's its appeal of Mashiach. That's incredible. So instead of looking for external things, I'm always kind of a little bit astounded with people, because they want to daven for a certain matzav, they add to the davening kapitah tilim, tefillos from this person, that person. Almost everything's in the davening, and if we would put a little more kavana and a little more thought and a little more focus on the davening, we probably have it in the davening. So Mashiach Shmon Esra is saturated. Four outright bakashas and one plea, v'sachzene einenu b'shuv chalitzin b'rachamim, is something that's astounding. I think they say that Chaim Volozhin, with his eyes would fill up with tears when he would say in the Kedusha of Shabbos, in the Kedusha where we'd speak about seeing the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of these are part and parcel of the belief of Mashiach, and we express it. We just need to pay attention to it.
Right. I've heard in the name of Rav Gershon Bess, who was my Rav when I was in Los Angeles, he says, you're going to daven anyway, you may as well pay attention. You're going to do it anyway. So, and that really resonated with me. It's true. You're going to do it anyway, so just pay attention to it.
Somebody showed me once a clip. It's an astounding clip. And I always wonder why people, what gets selected. This is a clip that's available online. It's on one of the Rebbe's Habrengens in, I guess it must have been in the 60s sometimes. I probably they have the date on it. I don't remember. But Rav Goldsmith was at the Habrengen, the former yeshiva of Kamer Yavne, and he was sitting, you know, like a few seats away from the Rebbe, and he was able to ask the Rebbe something between, you know, when people were singing between, Mamar, between Sichas Mamar. And it's all recorded and filmed, and you can see it. And he asks him two questions. One of the questions is about his son, who's learning in Kolo, now wants to go out and get a job. It seems as if at first the Rebbe thought he meant a job that was after the Torah. He explained he wanted him to be a Rebbe. And the Rebbe insisted that he keep sitting and learning. He felt that's a higher madrega than being a Rebbe. That's fascinating. Then he said, there's another reason. He said, Mashiach is coming imminently. Do you want to be in a position where you took away from learning a short while before Mashiach's coming, that because you couldn't wait just for the short time? And the Rebbe said it, you know, with the same serious face he always had, and so on. So here is, are we acting like Mashiach is coming? Mashiach is coming. It's not partying. It's a Yom Adin, one way or another. It's very unclear. But whatever it is, there are expectations of us. Are we doing things that would make us, are we really anticipating it? So a person needs to have some self-examination. Am I really doing things in every other area? Am I speaking less Lashon Hara? Am I learning more? Am I trying to act it with Kedusha more, whatever it is? Am I preparing myself? Because Mashiach is not going to look at a suit. Mashiach is going to look at the neshama. It says, "Vayricho b'yos Hashem," he'll sniff a person and out him. So I mean, he's not going to look at the label on the suit. I guarantee that's something I can guarantee that he's not. That's not going to be what's going to even the shreimel. He's not going to look at how many tails and how expensive it is. He's going to look at a person. Are we sincerely ready for it? Do we sincerely believe it? So to me, these things, you know, sheep's for Karbanis Pesach, Mashiach will bring. Klal Yisrael, to be royal, to walk in the Beis HaMikdash, and to be seen Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's up to us.
Right. Now, oftentimes, we hear about Mashiach, people crying out for Mashiach when terrible things occur, a death, a plague, somebody with terrible debts, and you hear people saying, I really need Mashiach. Is that the time we should be calling out to Mashiach? I guess it's two questions. Is that the appropriate time? And also, is that the reason we're going to have Shaliyah, the Mashiach come, is to deal with our personal problems?
I want to tell over a... So I wrote about it, but I want to tell over a story of a big person. Again, I'm going to leave out the names because it might be private, even though I think there might be quite a few people know the story. But again, I heard this from someone who was actually there. A while ago, a big Rosh Hashiva passed away suddenly. He just one morning woke up and said, "Now, well," and he passed away. The family came running. There are many kids, and they all came running. And, you know, it was so sudden and shocking. And the almana was sort of there on top of things. And one kid said, "My gosh, we can't handle this. Mashiach has to come." And the almana said, "Mashiach has to come, but not because of us, because of Klal Yisrael. Don't take your personal tragedy and make that Mashiach. We have our own tragedy. Klal Yisrael, in the big picture, everyone is out, and you need to look at it from a big perspective, not a personal perspective." So it's, again, you know, it's a prompt. I wrote in the second article about it that you know, the physical elements of the kais or of the klal are a prompt, and you know, it's a thing that pushes us that things cannot be as usual, but it needs to put us into a thinking mode of what is life about, what klal is all about, what's the world about. It should never remain the solution to a personal problem. The personal problem pushes us to start thinking more real, to start thinking about the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. Then hopefully we can have the real thoughts about Mashiach. But to look at it just as a personal solution, I think is just missing the point of what Mashiach is.
Mm-hmm. So I know there's a machlokas in the Meforshim on Yeshayahu and other places, how the impact that the Mashiach is going to have, is it going to be more limited, or do we understand the psukim more broadly?
Right.
So what are the benefits that we're going to see of the Mashiach coming that hopefully we can really look forward to?
Right. So I think it's very akin to, you know, a lot of times I stand on the message of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, more Rosh Hashanah because there's not a focus, a personal focus. The focus is Alkei Nekava, you know, the focus is, you know, all the Ummas will come and so on. If a person is a little more thoughtful, a little more sensitive, and thinks about the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Bria that has so much horror to it. So many people die of starvation, of illness, of war, so much cruelty, so much disbelief, so much lack of morality. If you think about the world, this is the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Is this the world that he wants? The world, if we look around, is a place of a lot of suffering. Yes, there's a lot of good, but the amount of suffering, a person would just think about it. There's a story that the Panovich Rav said that he was sitting by Chavetz Chaim after he'd made his first fundraising trip to South Africa, and he was telling him about the plight of all of the black miners, miners with an E, and how terrible the life is, and so on. Chavetz Chaim was very, very bizarre. He kept asking about it and said, they're human beings. And understanding that the world is a very difficult place, and this is so far from what a world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be. And Mashiach Tzidkenu's job is to stop the Klal Yisrael and to rectify the world. One, whether it will come immediately, whether it will be eventually, but starts the process of Tikkun Olam. I think there are times that a person should have that broader view and understand how horrible is a world that's Ma'aseh Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all of its Taver Bayam. It's a mess, and it's a mess because we made it a mess, and it will become a beautiful and perfect world when Mashiach is Masak in the world to look at her fruit. I think that's a thinking process that lifts us out of our own small world and gives us a real sense of a big picture.
Right. Now, how about the issue of somebody who is alive, believed to be Mashiach, and then he passes away? I took a class a number of years ago with a great Talmud Chacham, and he pointed out in the Rambam's Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel, that it says that once Bar Kochba passed away, Rabbi Akiva and others realized he wasn't the Mashiach anymore, and a person who passes away can't be the Mashiach. He went on to point out different times in history that people made a mistake about the Shabbat Tzvi, Christianity. He said Chabad made this mistake, not all of Chabad, but the limited amount of Chabad. So how do we think about this issue of if somebody passes away, they can no longer be Mashiach?
The Rambam does say Neherag, but the point is it's irrelevant to us. I mean, it does say, Rashi says somewhere that Moshe and Aaron will have Kriyas HaRasim before other people and be here. At the end of the day, if dead people can come alive, then why isn't David HaMelech himself Mashiach or Shlomo? You know, once dead candidates are good candidates, then fine. Then we have a Moshe Rabbeinu, David, and Melech Shlomo. And why do we need to go to Ben David? Mashiach and David, we always have the Ben David. But it makes no difference. If a person comes to us and he meets his criteria, whether we saw him get out of the grave, which I guess certainly would be extremely convincing, or if he's alive, it makes no difference. The Emunah in Mashiach should never focus on a particular person. It should be focused on Mashiach. There is a goyel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring. I once heard a very, very good and practical Haggadah from Reuven Feinstein. He came to visit Yeshiva. And there was a bacher, I guess Shidduchim were going a bit different, or I think a bit difficult, or I think he maybe had something in mind and it wasn't working. I don't know what the question was. But he asked him if I'm supposed to daven for a Shidduch. And Reuven told him, you're supposed to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you're not supposed to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu advice. In other words, finding a Shidduch is a chiyuv, it's a tremendous chiyuv, and like everything else we're obligated to do, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us. Baruch Aleinu, Refa'enu, we're obligated to heal sick people, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Shemayim. We're obligated to bring it by Nasa, we ask Baruch Aleinu. We're obligated to learn, we ask HaTachonim. So it's definitely correct. But to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is the girl that's right for me, help me get her, there's some element of chutzpah to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, why are you telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu who, what, when? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell us who Moshe will be. He gave us simanim. So to be mespal for Mashiach, that's the core, that's of being mechakalai. And therefore, every day we have three times a day, at least four brachas, possibly more, where we ask for it, and that's great. To give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a device, who exactly we would like to nominate for Mashiach, I think that that's kind of vulgar. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide. It doesn't say that it can't be somebody came back from Tiferes Hamesim, but let's wait for that to happen. It doesn't, you know, so I think it's an issue we should not be involved in.
So I have one final question, talking about Mashiach. Specifically, tangibly, what can we do to bring Mashiach?
So I think that it needs to start with a tzipil of Mashiach. And let me explain what that is. Somewhere in our lives, so Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when a person is having long masses, when a person is has moments set aside for his boneness, to think and understand that we need to understand it from the spiritual core, because that's what it is. Understanding how it is a world that struggles with what its tachlis is. We're spiritual beings, we have an neshama, and our being is occupied with deciding which restaurant has a thicker steak. A person that's already from the good Yitzharis. A person should be able to say, you know, it's a world with that's filled with neshamas of such romimus, and we're stuck, and the world is stuck, and the world is going no place. We build and we do, and it never seems to gain the traction to make a real difference. It has to come a real tzipiyah of Mashiach, and maybe Tisha B'Av is the right time to do it, to sit and to think the world is a world that's disappointing. And it's, you know, so much has been done, and, you know, it's look at how much a Kali Yisrael has disappeared and disintegrated. Shouldn't a person think about that? I mean, there's so much kirev going on. There's so much billions of dollars being put into it. There's so much happening. And yet, we've lost, I don't want to think of how many neshamas, the huge percentage of neshamas that belong to us. The world is crippled. We don't. These neshamas are gone. They've left over no children. They left over. They're not leaving over anything. They're not doing anything. And to think about things that it needs special moments, I think, but those are more real. Those are things that person gets the real picture of it. So we pat ourselves on the back and we think everything is great, but it's kind of hollow. And I think if we're able to get to bring out in us that type of feeling and yearning for a real world and a good world, I think it'll be different. Let me give maybe a final mashal of sorts. I know somebody who was a brilliant student in top universities. And he was a brilliant student, and he was a great football player. He was everything. And a fun person. And was in an accident and recovered. And he was a very bad accident. He was in a coma for a very long time, came out of it. His body functions all fine. His mental functions are mediocre, a B minus of a student in a community college, if we're looking at that as a good one. But he remembered himself, what he was, and he's been depressed ever since, obviously, because he's not himself. He bears a memory of a person who is a superstar, and he's living the life of a schlep. That's the type of feeling that we need to evoke in ourselves. We have so much in ourselves. We were a nation where three times a year we would interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Liras Ulihiros, whatever that means. That's who we were. We were a nation that when we needed to make a decision, we'd go to Kohen Gadol, and Kohen Gadol would be Mesachid, and he would come out with an answer straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We knew, we understood, there was so much of us, and we're trapped. I think those are not the easiest feelings that come to rise to the surface, but maybe that's why this is important. So Tisha B'Av is going to have a long day, and it's time to sit to think through. And we're living lives of spiritual midgets when what's yearning in us is greatness of spirit. I think if we have in one moment like that, it will make a big difference.
That is an unbelievable message. It just brings to mind something, a medrash that I heard from Rav Yisachar Frand. He was talking about Moshe Rabbeinu right before he passed away. He's not entering Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Esmol, the Medrash says, Esmol, Haya, Poreach, Kinesher, yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu, you were flying like an eagle. You were the manning of Klal Yisrael. And now look, you're about to pass away and not even achieve your dream of entering into Eretz Yisrael. And I think that's what the Rosh Hashiva here is saying, is Klal Yisrael, abilities and capabilities. And as much as we do in the world, we're falling flat based on our potential. Yeah. And if we can think about that gap between what we can be and what we are, that would really bring us the tzipi to Yeshua.
Yes, Ari, I couldn't have said it better. Okay. We should be saying at Hesiris and from the Hesiris, does Hashem, we should begin to feel the winds blowing back in that Hashem.
Amen. Rabbi Lubyansky, thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it.
Call, bye-bye.
Joining us now is